I'll ask you now to turn with me in your Bible to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 49. We are working our way together through the Gospel of Luke under the heading, The Good News of God, according to Luke. This morning, we want to consider together Christ, the solid rock. Again, our text this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. We're simply picking up where we left off last time with verse 43. Let's hear God's word. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Thus far, the word of God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we do pray. We ask that you would speak into our lives with authority, with power, with truth, with clarity, that you would speak into our lives in such a way that it accomplishes your good work within us, that it brings about genuine faith and repentance. We pray that your word would bring us more to Christ. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Why do we do the things we do? You know, why did I say that? Why did I act that way? Why did I overreact? Why did I let that get to me? You know, we've all had situations where you lashed out at somebody, or you had a meltdown, or you're freaked out, or you're panicked, or you're worried, or you know, we've all had situations that we didn't handle very well, and later you look back and you think, why did I do that? Why did I let that bother me? Why did I let that get under my skin? What's wrong with me? Why did I act that way? Well, this morning, I want us to see that our words and our actions reveal what's in our hearts. Okay? Now, remember what we've seen so far. Jesus is preaching to a very, very loud, a very large crowd of people. Okay? Perhaps the largest crowd of people he'd ever spoken to up to this point. And I've mentioned in the past that some scholars believe that this is what we often call the Sermon on the Mount. Because you remember in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew describes how Jesus went up on the mountain and he gave a rather significant, very well-known sermon to a huge crowd of people. And we often call that the Sermon on the Mount. That's in the Gospel of Matthew. That's in the book of Matthew. Well, here we are in the book of Luke, and many scholars believe that this is Luke's account of that same sermon, that same incident. That here Luke is giving his own account of that great sermon that Jesus gave. And certainly there are many similarities to what Luke has been describing, to what Matthew describes. So it's very possible that this is, in fact, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Or it's possible that this is a similar message given on a similar occasion, because Jesus obviously preached in many different occasions. He went from town to town, and doubtless he often said some of the same things. So whether this is the Sermon on the Mount or another occasion like it, Jesus is speaking to a very, very, very large crowd of people. And this is what he says, verse 43. For no good tree bears bad fruit. A good tree doesn't bear bad fruit. Well, that's pretty obvious. If a good tree bears bad fruit, it's not a good tree. That's kind of self-evident. The word tree here is a very vague, it's a very general term. This is not like a precise Latin botanical term or something. This is a very general tree, very general word. It can mean tree, bush, shrub, even a big, large vine. So Jesus is speaking very generally here, and he's not talking about the health of the tree. You know, like sometimes you have a tree in your yard, and it's got some kind of disease. It's going to have to come out. I think we recently had a tree on the property that was diseased and had to come. He's not talking about the health of the tree. He's talking about the kind of the tree. Okay, is it a fig tree? Is it a plum tree? Is it a grapevine? Is it an olive tree? These would be examples of good trees, whereas a bad tree would be something like a briar bush, a thorn bush, a bramble bush. That would be a bad bush. That would be something you don't want. Good fruit would be plums or figs or olives or even dates from like a date palm. Bad fruit would be like thorns, briars, prickers. Okay. Jesus says no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. Well, what he's saying here is that the kind of person you are will determine the way you talk and the way you act. Okay? Each of us is like a tree. Okay? And the way you talk, the way you act, that's like your fruit. A good tree not going to bear bad fruit. A bad tree isn't going to bear good fruit. The kind of person you are is going to determine the way you act, the way you respond to situations, the way you talk, and the way you behave. Likewise, the way you talk and the way you act reveals what kind of person you are. You see, it goes both ways. The kind of person you are is going to depend on how you is going to determine how you handle situations, but also the way you handle things reveals what kind of person you are. He says, verse 44, each tree is known by its fruit. So imagine you've just gotten a piece of property and it's overgrown. And you know that a lot of these bushes and shrubs is going to have to come out. But you don't want the land to be bare. You've got to decide, what trees do I keep? What is going to come out? Well, so you're going through this property, and as you're going through the woods, this has figs on it. That's a good tree. We want to keep that. This got thorns. This briar bush, that needs to come out. Imagine you're going through this property, and as you're trying to determine what are we going to keep, what are we going to get rid of, Jesus says, each tree is known by its fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. Okay? If you see figs growing on this thorn bush, that's not a thorn bush. And if it is a thorn bush, don't keep it thinking you're going to get figs off it, because you're not going to get figs off of it. Okay, figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. If you see grapes growing on this bramble bush, that's not a bramble bush. That's a grapevine. Keep it. Okay. On the other hand, if it is a bramble bush, don't hold on to that thinking it's going to have grapes, because it's not going to bear grapes. Jesus is saying that the kind of person you are is going to determine the way you talk and the way you act. And then you can look at the opposite way and say, the way you talk and the way you act reveals the kind of person you are. Verse 45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. You know this, we learned this in elementary school, that during the winter, trees, shrubs gather up nutrients from the soil. During the winter, trees look dead. You know, often they don't have any leaves. They look like they're not doing anything. But in fact, they're storing up nutrients and energy from the soil. And then when spring and summer comes, out comes the new life. Out comes the leaves and the flowers and the fruit. Well, Jesus appears to be using a similar image. He says that we're like trees, and we store up things in our heart. He says the good person stores up good things. You know, you're just thinking about good things. You're so thankful. You're so thankful. You're just storing up good memories and happy blessings. And you're storing up good things in your heart. You're just so thankful and you're grateful. And there's good things stored up in there. And those good things that are stored up in there, well, they're going to come out. He says the good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. You've been storing up good thoughts, grateful thoughts, joyful thoughts, happy thoughts. It's going to come out. What you love and what you treasure, okay, what you store up in your heart, it's going to be revealed. It's going to come out. He says the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. So the evil person here is having evil thoughts. He's bitter. He's angry. He's irritated. He's frustrated. He's always thinking, nothing's ever right. Nothing's ever good enough. It's not fair. All this bitterness and bile is going on inside. He's storing that up. And eventually it's going to come out. You may try to look like a good, happy person, but if you're storing up these evil thoughts within you, eventually they're going to come out. What you love and treasure, those things that you think about over and over again, the things you store up in your heart, they're going to be revealed. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Okay, imagine your heart like a cup. Or a bowl or a barrel or some sort of container that's always being filled with thoughts. Because your mind's always working. You know, when you're alone, when you're in the car, or even when you're interacting with other people, the mind's always going and you're always filling up with thoughts, good or bad, and eventually the heart overflows. That's the picture, is that the heart's filling up and then it overflows and it spills out in your words. We may try to put on a mask or appearance, but that bitterness or anger that might be in there, it comes out. On the other hand, if you've been storing up good thoughts, you're just so grateful and happy and you're so appreciative and so thankful, you're just humbled by God's goodness to you, that spills out. You can't help it. It just comes out. Your compassion and your gratitude, it spills out. Whatever's stored up inside, the things that you store up, the things you love and you treasure, you hold on, it's going to come out. It's going to spill out in your words and your actions. And what that means is that when we have those moments, when we lash out at somebody else, or we overreact, or we have a meltdown, or we freak out, or we have a panic attack or something, there can be lots of factors involved. Could be you're just under a lot of pressure. Could be you didn't sleep well. Maybe you're on medication. It's making your heart race, and you don't feel like yourself. Maybe you misunderstood what someone said, or you misunderstood the situation, and that's part of why you overreacted. You misunderstood. There could be a lot of factors going on. But at the end of the day, we can't blame our circumstances, because Jesus says the things that we say, the way we act, okay, the way we react to situations, that reveals something about what's going on in our heart. Okay? Our words and our actions reveal what's in our heart. And that's why you need to build your life on the rock of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 46. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" Now, this is the kind of thing we say all the time, like to your kids. You know? Why didn't you clean your room? You said you were going to clean your room. Why didn't you do it? Or you say it to maybe someone else at work, you know, "You said you were going to take care of this. Why didn't you take care of it? Why didn't you do what you say?" Sometimes we may say this as a genuine question. You know, we're really looking for information. We're trying to understand. "You said you were going to do this. You didn't do it. What happened? Was there did something happen? Was there an interruption? Was there an emergency?" Sometimes you might, you know, "You said you were going to do it. You didn't do it. Why not?" You're really asking a question. You're really wondering. Maybe there's an explanation here. But I think a lot of times when we say this, it's more out of frustration. Or we're expressing displeasure. "Why didn't you clean your room? You said you were going to clean your room. You didn't clean your room." You know, you're not really asking for an explanation. You're just expressing your displeasure. And it's possible that's what Jesus is doing here. Okay? Remember that out of this crowd of people, this huge crowd of people, there's lots of different kinds of people there. Okay? We've been told that there's a huge crowd of disciples, okay, who've been going from town to town following Jesus. Okay? Remember, at this point, Jesus is traveling from town to town, and of course, the New Testament had not yet been written at that point when Jesus was going from town to town. So if you want to learn from Jesus, the only way to do it is to follow him. And so the disciples were people who had made great commitment, great sacrifice. They've left the stability of their jobs and their homes, and they're literally living hand to mouth. Jesus says they were hungry and poor, but they're following Jesus. So there's this huge crowd of disciples, which would include the 12 apostles. The 12 apostles were 12 of the disciples who've been handpicked to be personally trained and then sent out by Jesus to begin the New Testament church. But there's also this great multitude of people who were not disciples. Okay, if you remember that, they were people who've come from as far away as Jerusalem. Jesus said many of them were very wealthy. These people, they aren't disciples. They're coming for the first time, maybe to hear, who is this new preacher we're hearing about? Some came from as far away as the coast, from Tyre and Sidon, which is not even in Israel. And they're coming to be healed. They're coming because they want something, and they're wanting to receive power from Jesus. And you can imagine them saying, "Lord, Lord," and trying to get Jesus' attention and trying to get healed. And Jesus says to them, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you not do what I tell you?" Now, maybe, at least in part, he's expressing his displeasure. You know, everybody wants something from me. You call me Lord, Lord when you want something, but you don't actually obey me. And maybe I'm sure Jesus is not pleased with us when we call him Lord, Lord, and we don't obey him. But I think there's more than that going on. I think Jesus is asking a question to get us to think. Why is it that we call Jesus Lord, but we don't obey him? You know, that could be true for these people. They're not disciples yet. They're just saying Lord, Lord, because they want something. But it's also true of all of us sometimes that we say Jesus Christ is Lord, but we don't always obey him as Lord. Why is that? I think Jesus is asking this question to get us to think. He's already told us the answer. He just told us, well, a good tree doesn't bear bad fruit. A bad tree doesn't bear good fruit. Now, why is it you're bearing bad fruit? I think he knows the answer, but he's asking this question to get us to think, to get us to look a little bit beneath the surface. Remember, the Pharisees focused almost entirely on outward behavior. Do this and don't do that. And they actually made righteousness sound really easy. You know, being a good, righteous Jewish person, it's just a matter of do these things and don't do these things. They make it sound very easy. But you and I both know obedience is never easy. Because sometimes I don't want to obey. I mean, why were these people saying, "Oh, Lord, Lord, over here, heal me," but they didn't obey Jesus? Well, they didn't want to. We want to do our own thing. But even as disciples, even when you want to do the right thing, sometimes you don't want to do the right thing. Or even when you don't want to do the wrong thing, part of you wants to do the wrong thing. And so obedience is, well, it's difficult. It's challenging. It's sporadic, especially in hard situations when we're under a lot of pressure. And I think Jesus is asking this question to get you to think, why is it you responded that way? Granted, you hadn't slept in a long time. You were tired. That person was being unfair. But why did you respond that way? A good tree would bear good fruit, even in that situation. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, as if you're a good tree? But you don't obey. You bear bad fruit. I think he's asking this question to get us to think about the depths of the problem in our heart. He's getting us to look beyond just outward actions, to look at the problem of the heart. And then he explains to us how real obedience is actually possible. It's not just go out and do this and don't do that. He says, everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I'll show you what he's like. Okay? Jesus has just said, the reason we don't obey is because of who we are. It's not just, we can't just say it's that person's fault or it's my circumstances. The reason we don't obey is because the kind of people that we are. There's something about us. We're that kind of person. I sin because I'm sinful. So how is it possible to obey? Jesus says, let me show you how it works. Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, okay, I'll show you what he's like. Here's how this works. Here's how this plays out in practice. Okay, Jesus is explaining how real obedience is possible. The Pharisees' approach of just trying harder, it just doesn't work. Okay, you can't just change your behavior. You can't just start being good. So Jesus says, let me show you how it actually works. When someone comes to me and hears my word and actually starts to obey, let me show you how it works. He says, he's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. You can't just go out and build a house. You want to build a house, first you got to dig deep and lay a foundation down on the rock. Okay? Your life has to be built on something solid. You can't build your life on your own ability to be good. That's what the Pharisees did. You know, their identity as God's people, their identity as good people, as good Jewish people, it depended on the fact that they did good. And that's a fragile thing, because we don't always do good, especially under pressure or when we're tired or in awkward situations. And that's a very fragile thing. And so what happens for the Pharisees is that when they don't obey, they've got to make excuses. Because what else are they going to do? They can't say, I'm just not righteous. So they go, well, it's that person. You know those Gentiles, those Romans, women, the crowd. They've got to always blame circumstances and other people because they can't dare admit, I did something wrong here. Our ability to be good is fragile. If you're going to build your life, you got to build it on something more solid. You got to build your life upon the rock of Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, the guy who or woman who's able to come to me and hear my words and go out and do them, well, she doesn't just go out and try to be good. You don't just go out and build a house. You got to dig deep and lay a foundation. Okay? He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. Jesus said that the person who comes to me and hears my words and then is able to go out and put them into practice is like a person who digs deep and lays a foundation on the rock, builds his or her life on something bigger than yourself. You build your life on the rock of Jesus Christ. Jesus is that unchanging rock. He faced way more stress and pressure than you and I ever do. He endured way more conflict than you and I ever will. He experienced all kind of opposition and accusations, and he was a rock. You got to build your life on the rock of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. He says, when the flood comes and the stream overflows its banks and it smashes against the house stands because it's built on the rock. Jesus is assuming floods are going to come. That's why we can't blame our circumstances. You know, well, it had been a long day and everything was going wrong. Well, that's life. If you're only good on good days, you're not good very often. The fact is there's always going to be floods. There's always going to be problems. You know, maybe not all the time, but that's life. If you're going to build a house, you don't want to be a house that just works in ideal weather. You want it to stand up all the time. If you're going to serve the Lord and be a godly person, you don't want to be just godly on days when things go your way. You need to be godly all the time. And so you've got to build your life on a foundation of something greater than yourself. Build it on the rock of Jesus Christ. This is what he says. The one who hears, in other words, the one who hears my words and doesn't do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. Okay, so this could be the Pharisees, for example. Maybe there were Pharisees in attendance and they just go out and try to keep on being good. A Pharisee would be work very hard at being very moral and very religious. Maybe it's not a Pharisee at all. Maybe it's just a person who just consider himself a good person. Regardless, this is a person who's trying to be good without depending upon Jesus. Jesus says it's like trying to build a house without bothering to build a lay a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. the fact is, pressure, stress, frustration is going to come. And sometimes we're not going to respond well. Sometimes you're going to overreact. Sometimes you're going to say things you shouldn't say. Sometimes you're going to do things you shouldn't do, or things that you regret, or you're going to embarrass yourself in the way you handle something. But as a Christian, that's not the basis of your life. You know, obviously, you don't want to overreact. You don't want to mishandle a situation. But when it does happen, your house doesn't have to collapse. Your life does not fall apart because your obedience isn't the foundation of your life. You can just own up to it. You know what? I was being childish. My bad. You can own up to it. You can be honest. You can explain the circumstances, but you can also just own up to your own failures because, you know what, your identity, your value, your place with God, it's not based on how good you are. It's based on Jesus. Jesus experienced far more stress and pressure than we ever have, and yet he is a rock, unchanging. Jesus never said the wrong thing. He never did the wrong thing. Through all the circumstances, even when one of his apostles betrayed him, even when his other apostles abandoned him, even when the Jewish people turned him over to the Romans, like a rock, always saying the right thing, always doing the right thing. Jesus never slipped up and sinned because he had no sin stored up within him. A rock who was faithful even to the point of death on the cross. You know, it always sounds peculiar to us, but sometimes the New Testament refers to the cross as a tree. Because ancient Palestine was barren, and often you didn't have lots of woods. Often you'd have maybe one big tree sticking up against the horizon. And so when you looked and you saw where the Romans had erected a cross or several crosses, it did look kind of like trees. And Jesus was a rock. He was faithful. He always brought forth only good things, even when he was nailed to what we would call a bad tree. I mean, if there's a such thing as a bad tree, a cross was considered a bad tree. It was horrible. It was wicked. It was a means of execution. Jesus was faithful even to the point of being nailed on a bad tree. Jesus gave his perfect life in our place to make atonement for us, to make payment for us as our substitute. So that when we don't handle a situation well, we can own up to it. We can come clean, we can turn away, we can repent, and we can move on, and we can press on, and we can continue to grow, because our life isn't based on our obedience, it's based on the obedience of Jesus Christ. It's based on his life and his death. Listen, we don't handle things well sometimes, and it's because of what's in our hearts, which is why we can't base our life on how good we think we are. But you got to build your life on the rock of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we need you to help us see things about ourselves. It's easy to look outward. Sometimes it's very difficult to look inward. And we need you to shine your light into our lives, onto our behavior, into our circumstances, into our hearts, and enable us to see things about ourselves and to know things about ourselves that we wouldn't otherwise know. And it's not so we despair. You don't want our house to fall apart. But rather it's so that we might build our house, our life, on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. We bless you, Lord. You've made a way that we can build a house. You've made a way that we can live a more godly life. You've made that possible. And so we pray for the illuminating work of your Spirit to help us to see these things in our lives, to stop making excuses, to be slower to blame other people. Help us, Lord, not to treasure up bitterness and sour attitude in our hearts. Help us to build our life on the righteousness of Jesus and to be grateful and thankful and trusting, and every time we fall, every time we fail, to simply confess it, to own up to it, to admit it, to make amends if possible, and to repent, and to store up gratitude and appreciation and joy and thanksgiving. Help us to more and more store up good within us, knowing that whatever we store up within us, it's going to come out of us. It's going to show in the way we talk, in the way we act. And so we pray, Lord, that you would enable us to build our lives on the righteousness of Jesus and store up good things, good thoughts in our heart, trusting those things will flow out of our mouths, out of words and our actions, Lord. This is our prayer. We ask for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.